listening to WCNO Palm City.
It should take. We should be swept away with adoration.
It's amazing.
We should be swept away with adoration for the living God, considering what He does. Look at the lilies of the field. You know, He said, not even the greatest queen on earth, and dressed in all her stuff, is dressed as elegantly and as beautiful as the lilies in the field. And you know something? It's true. Stop and look at some of these little dainty flowers, and you go, how did He do that?
Yes, I've got some in my yard.
Pardon me?
They're beautiful flowers. I have some of those flowers right in my yard. Just beautiful blue flowers are so pretty.
Are they coming up now?
That's the truth. Yeah, they're out there. I could show you a picture of them. I'll send you a picture later. They're beautiful. You'll love them. Oh. You know, the people are, you know, people, it's just three things. It's since the beginning of time, it's man apart from God, just been three things, you know, pride, boastful pride, lust of his flesh and lust of his eyes. Every bad deed's based on that, you know, those three things, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh and pride. You know, I don't need God, you know, I can do it on my own.
I'm going to write that down. Lust, lust of the flesh.
Yeah.
Okay, lust of the flesh. I know that's in the Bible. What's the next lust?
A lust of the eyes.
Lust of the eyes. And what's the third one?
Boastful pride of life.
Pride. Pride. Okay, pride. P-R-I-D-E. Yeah, you know, you're right. You know, pride gets us in a lot of trouble. You know, it's kind of like if you do something wrong. I've learned late in life now, it's best to go up to the person and just say, you know, I gave way to my emotions. I maybe said things I didn't mean to say, and I was wrong, and I apologize. Now, if they can't forgive me, that's not my business, because I've done the best that I can do, so I'm clean. I've kept my side of the street clean. But I can't dictate to someone, you have to forgive me or you're not a Christian. No, they don't have to forgive you. That's not my business.
That's right.
But so there's the pride, and then there's the lust of the flesh. Now, I would say, what does the lust of the flesh mean? Now, there's lust of the eye. Men are seduced, and women know this. Men are seduced by beauty. But also, right, let's not make this a bad thing, because God gave women the proclivity, the desire to doll themselves up and adorn themselves. And I marvel, you know, and then they kind of look at us and you know, most of the species, the male is the better looking one. Well, we actually are distinctive. We have big noses, and then we grow this enormous beard, you know, and kind of scary looking. And if a wild beast comes to the tent or to the the cave, and the woman's there with the offspring, all that burly guy goes to the front of the cave, and whatever's at the front of the cave goes, I think I'm going to go elsewhere. I'm not going to bug this one. Because can you imagine if you were unwashed? I mean, you ever see these guys that live in the woods and they come out with the hair all matted and the beard all matted, and they're wearing their clothes are made out of some animal that they killed to make clothing out of, you know, and it could be a pretty scary sight. But so I don't know the difference, but I do know that God made women, very soft and feminine, and we're attracted to that. But they know also to use that, and it can be manipulative, as also men. See, I don't like it when you talk about gold diggers. I'll tell you why. Women want security. So they want strength. They want a man to be tall, strong, blah, 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 and a good provider for her offspring. This goes into the back of her head, the way nature made her. I got to find someone who's going to give me good, healthy children and is going to bring them up. She has no recourse about that. It's put into her instinctively by God. And so they're looking, and so men use that because they have an ability to go and what's the word when salvage? What's the word? Pluck and hold, or what do you call that when they go out? They say men go out and harvest, you know. And pardon me?
Seduce?
Yeah, produce. No, there's another term they use.
No, seduce.
No. Produce. Anyway, hunt and salvage, hunt and what's the word? Do you know, Dula, what I'm trying to say? I wish somebody would know what I was trying to say. Men go out and they what? They always say the men go out and they hunt and
gather.
Hunt and gather. Yeah, hunters and gatherers. There you go. Thank you very much. Hunter and gather. And so all of a sudden, you know, because I noticed that in life when I got older. and I was prospering. You know, I believe I was a fairly handsome guy when I was younger. I didn't know it. I might have misused it had I known. But anyway, I look back and I go, wow. But so I'm older, and all of a sudden, more women than ever are kind of coming on to me, you know? And I'm going, what's this about, you know? And I realize, Rhett, it's because you're viewed as successful. And they see you drive up in a prestige vehicle, perhaps, or maybe they know of your reputation. Who knows? But they're looking for security. You really can't hold that against women, because would you be with your wife if she had a big hook nose and an eye that drooped down here while the other one was up here? I mean, you know, men are into beauty. They become our treasure. And so what's wrong with a woman wanting to have someone who can provide for them? I mean, if you took a beautiful man and a wealthy man, and they both, you know, have a kind heart and good, I would think a lot of women are going to choose the guy who has the dough, because she instinctively, if they're young and they want to have children, they need someone who's going to provide. Now, I'm not saying, we all know we've had true loves out there. I have. I'm very blessed to. For the first mm-hmm. half of my life, I never had a woman that wanted me for money, because I didn't have any.
Convenient.
And it was nice to look back and go, you know, maybe things didn't work out, but you sure didn't chase me for the dough. And that's kind of, I was a struggling songwriter in the ghetto of not Vermont, upstate New York. But so anyway, so where were we going with all this, Richard? I have no idea.
Well, the thing that God's been put on my heart lately yeah. is, you know what? God is love. He loves us so much that he came, he set aside his privilege. Can you imagine? King Jesus, the creator of everything, nothing is made that he didn't make. He made it all. Stars, nebula, the universe, he just made it all. King Jesus counts the stars easily and gives them all a name. So easy, no big deal for him. Humbled himself, came to the earth as a baby. I mean, that's just phenomenal. Out of love, he did it because he loves us. And he lived, he didn't sin, he didn't do anything wrong. And he let himself be nailed to a cross, taking all of our sins on himself, you know. And he did that because he loves us and wanted us to be able to come into his holy place, giving us his righteousness. But the thing is, he gave us just one, he loves us so much. He gave us one thing to do, one ministry everybody has. It's called a kind of big word, the ministry of reconciliation. It yes. says if God, him, we're ambassadors. It's like an ambassador for a country, and we're the ambassadors of Christ, and God has charged us to help men come to know him. I believe, Brett, I could be wrong. You correct me, feel free if I'm wrong, but I believe that's the only reason we're still here on earth. Otherwise, why would God leave me here on earth to be tempted and all that stuff? If he loves me so much, when I gave my life to Jesus, why wouldn't he say, yes, come to heaven now, bam?
But he, you know, I often think of that, because I'm so egotistical, because when I first got born again, I always said when I was a kid, I said, if I ever find out that there really is a God, I'm going to tell all the world. And so later on in life, you know, I got born again. And what was the last thing you said that inspired me to think something? What were you just saying, Richard?
I was saying how that he's given us one thing to do. To help men come to know Jesus.
Oh, I know what it was. Yeah. What you said there is that I remember I got born again, and I actually said to him, I said, I want to be the best son you ever had next to Jesus. And I'm, you know, I've always very much enjoyed the opposite sex, very much so, and very attached and needful of their femininity and their tenderness. And I lived like a monk for the first 7 years. I decided that I was not going to you know, sleep around anymore. And until somebody broke my heart, that pretty much was true. There was some instance, you know, whatever, we wanted to talk about that, but Russian hands right. and Roman fingers and all that stuff. But, you know, I pretty much lived like a monk's life. And then Of course, I fell, but I believe that's in the plan. He, we need to learn. I'll tell you what my answer is to all this, is that if I could live a perfect life on my own, then Jesus died for nothing on the cross. So I think the point being is, Rhett, you know, maybe I believe you're essentially a nice young man, but, you know, there's a pure and holy cloud up above. And though you do some good works and stuff, if you were to die, you're not perfect. So then that would mar that cloud, and that cloud would no longer be pure and white completely. You might be a little tiny speck of dark, but nonetheless. And right. So he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to come as a man. I'm going to live a perfect, holy life so you don't have to. We've established that there is sin. Now, unlike with Muhammad, how you have to die in order to please him, Jesus said, no. All the religions say you have to die for them. Jesus said, you don't have to die for me. I died for you. But all you have to do is accept the gift. Accept the gift that I died for you and humble yourself, because no matter how good you are, your righteousness is not total and good enough to go to be a beautiful and pure and holy like that holy cloud. So right. He dies for the propitiation of our sins. He sends the Jews, the scribes, to write up the scriptures. He lets us know the Messiah will come through the lineage of David. That's why we have, I remember reading the Bible and as a kid, I go, what is all this stuff? Like, Alan had Samuel, and Samuel had Jonathan, and Jonathan had David, and blah, it goes on and on and on. What is this all about? Well, later on in life, you'll learn. And this really should be taught to people in a simple level. So we would know the Messiah came from the King David, was promised he would. So if you follow the lineage backwards of Mary or Joseph, the father, that you know that they both came from the lineage of King David. It's irrefutable because the scribes would wash their hands three times before they would make an entry into what would later be, I guess, the Torah, the writings of the scripture for the Jews, you know. And right. So that's why that all went down. So he did come through the lineage of David. He healed people. There's never been anybody come along and healed people like Jesus did. There are some now that do it in his name.
Right.
They have no power unto themselves to heal. Nobody has they can't heal on their own. It's Jesus who heals.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
Your love is amazing. Your love is amazing. Your love is amazing. Your love is amazing. In very nature, God made nothing of yours. Your love is amazing. Stepping into time, you took the form of